So this morning, the title of the message is The Gold Standard. The Gold Standard is based on what we call the Golden Rule. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 gives us that. It says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Now, how many of you ever heard that before? "In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Now, this morning, we're really just going to lay groundwork for this. But this precept that Jesus taught here is so valuable that it has been called the Golden Rule. Even the world calls this the Golden Rule. They don't live by it, but they call it the Golden Rule. They understand its value. Why? Because, again, for centuries now, it has been recognized as the gold standard for human behavior. And this is what it comes down to. If everybody kept this one rule, it would completely change the world we live in. Completely. It's called the Golden Rule for a reason. It is the highest standard of living. Now, why don't you go ahead and tell somebody, you don't want to live a low standard of living. You want to live the highest standard of living. See, here's the problem. Not many people want to keep it, but they all know it's the right thing to do. And they do like it when other people keep the golden rule when it applies to them. Right? So the term gold standard arose from a widespread acceptance of gold as currency. Now, we live in a modern age, a modern day where, gold really has no value anymore. I mean, you may say, well, that's last time I bought some gold earrings or something that had value for sure. But the truth of the matter is that we've kind of moved from a gold standard in the country. And listen, I hate to give you bad news, but money really has no value anymore because they just keep printing and printing and printing and printing and printing and printing. And if you just keep printing and printing and printing money, eventually it just loses its value completely. The reason they're doing all that is because ultimately some of those people Pastor Cindy was talking about earlier want to move the entire world to a one world global currency. And that one world global currency will be a digital currency. And the reason they do that is because those powers that be can now control people. Because then you won't be able to carry your own paper money and do anything with it. And so, again, it's all headed to that. It's going to get to that. At one point in time, this whole world is going to be ruled by someone called the Antichrist. And so that is going to happen. But it's going to happen, right? And so all of these things are, that's going to happen. But for the purpose of this message today, for years and years, what was known as the gold standard was based on the fact that gold became the central core of money's value. Okay. So various commodities have been used over the years as money, but typically the one that loses the least value over time, or has been the case, becomes the accepted form, and that was gold. And so the term golden rule and gold standard mean basically the same thing. So in other words, there's no precept more valuable for humanity. And by the way, just so you know, the word rule, like many people have heard this called the golden rule. Well, the word rule and standard literally does mean the same thing. You know, we have things that we measure by that, at least when I was in school, my teacher used to wear my hands out with, called a ruler. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll never forget my teacher saying, "Okay, walk up there, hold your hand out, whack, 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 whack," right? Misbehave, and I know none of y'all misbehaved in school or ever felt the wrath of a second grade teacher with a ruler, but I did. And so we call that a ruler, but it's also called a standard. Even a tape measure Some people still today call it a standard. In other countries, they call it a standard. So just to establish it, it's the same thing. So in other words, there is no precept more valuable to humanity than this one. It is the gold standard. And so again, imagine a world where everybody lived this out. I can tell you that just like anything else, it starts with one person. We got to stop wanting everybody else to do the right thing and choose to do the right thing ourselves. And Jesus showed us how to do it. He lived it out in front of us. Now, let me give you an example. There was a man named James Cash Penny, and he started a general merchandise store in Kemmerer, Wyoming in 1902, which he built into a multi-billion dollar enterprise on the guiding principle of the Golden Rule. This man was a Christian man. He read the Bible. He took the words of the Bible serious. So for years, this man, who most people know as J.C. Penney, had started this store and ran this store, and those stores literally were called Golden Rule Stores. Why? Because it was Mr. Penny's belief that success would come by treating customers as he would want to be treated. And not only customers, but this extended to how he treated his employees, whom he preferred to call associates. He knew by helping them to prosper, his own success would be assured. When he died in 1971, J.C. Penney was the fifth largest department store in America with over 1,700 outlets. And they were, again, considered Golden Rule stores. So in a very practical sense, you could see how one man decided to take the words of Christ into his heart and live them out, and it absolutely blessed his life and blessed a whole lot of people around him, okay? So every other form of this basic principle has been given in what we would call purely negative terms, and it's found in the literature in almost every major religion and philosophical system. Now, I'm going to give you several of these because, again, today we're just really laying groundwork for this message. The Jewish rabbi Hillel said this. He said, "What is hateful to yourself, do not do to someone else." Well, that's good. That's, you know, nothing wrong with that. The book of Tobit and the Apocrypha teaches, "What thou thyself hatest, to no man do." The Jewish scholars of in Alexandria, who translated the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, advised in a certain piece of correspondence, they said, "As you wish that no evil befall you, but to be a partaker of all good things, so you should act on the same principle toward your subjects and offenders." Confucius taught this: what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. Now, all those sound good, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with what they're saying. Let me keep going. An ancient Greek king named Nicocles wrote, "Do not do to others the things which make you angry when you experience them at the hands of others." The Greek philosopher Epictetus said, "What you avoid suffering yourself, do not afflict on others." The Stoics promoted the principle. They said, "What you do not want to be done to you, do not do to anyone else." And in every case, notice, it's the emphasis is in the negative. The principle is an important part. This is an important part of right human relations, but it also falls short, very far short, of God's perfect standard. Now, what's the difference in what all of these people were saying and what Jesus was saying? Because there is definitely a difference in Jesus' statement here. So he's not just saying to refrain from doing to others what you wouldn't want them to do to you. All these other religious leaders and people, that's what they were saying. Don't do to someone else what you don't want done to you. But Jesus took that and reversed that. Now, let me give you an example. When I taught in the Ten Commandments, you know, went through that whole thing on the Ten Commandments, one of the things the Lord taught me and showed me that I had never seen before when I began to study that is, for instance, God's intention for us under the new covenant is to take what seemed to be the negative, the don't do this, don't do that, and turn it into the positive. Because when Jesus came, it's no longer about just things he doesn't want us to do. It's about what he wants us to do. So for instance, when, you know, the thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder, really the New Testament point of that is love life, right? So there's a difference. For, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, when Jesus came and brought light on the subject, it was like developing the negative, like an old film strip, instead of just seeing the negative. When you put light to it, now you see what the picture was supposed to be. So it's not just do not commit adultery, it's be faithful, right? And it's all the things that the Holy Spirit actually enables us through His power to do. Well, it's the same way here. When Jesus said what He said, He basically was saying, do to others what you would have them do to you. So in other words, it's not just don't do to them what you don't want. It's do to them what you do want. You want to be blessed? Bless somebody else, right? You want to be loved? Love other people. You want somebody to speak nice to you and about you? Do that for other people. So it's not just about what we don't do. It's about what He wants others to do for us and what we want others to do to and for us. So the NASB says it this way: treat people the same way you want them to treat you. All right. And you know what? That ties into several other things that are taught in the scripture, but it also ties into the law of sowing and reaping. Right? If I want, for instance, if I've said this before, if I need a healing in my life, I need God to do something in my life, then I need to say, God, how can I plant some seeds toward that? So if I need healing in my life, I'm going to go pray for somebody else that needs healing. Right? I'm going to plant those seeds. Again, it's not taking a sit back approach and do nothing so I don't offend them. It's no, actively bless them. Jesus literally said, bless even your enemies. Speak well even of them. Bless them, right? Pray for them and bless them. So, okay, so number one, and we'll get to this, and this will be the only point we can get to today, but as a question, how would you like to be treated by others? How would you like to be treated by others? Jesus said in Matthew 22:39, a quote of Leviticus 19:18, He said, love your neighbors as yourself. So maybe you never thought of loving yourself as good, but it really is in reality if it's done the right way. Now, Pastor Cindy actually brought something up about this morning. And again, she never knows what I'm going to preach or anything. But let's look at this. Does God really want us to love ourselves? Well, of course He does. But we just get that so twisted and perverted many times. And many times when preachers talk about loving yourself and so on and so forth, it's really with a kind of a humanistic kind of mindset. But when speaking to husbands in Ephesians 5:28, Paul explains to husbands that they should love their wives as they love their own bodies. So obviously, he's telling them to do something good. If a person doesn't love their own body, how are they going to love their wife? So it says in Ephesians 5:28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And so how many of you in this room take care of yourself? Now, some of us not as good as others, right? Because maybe we didn't learn to, or we never were taught to in some way. But we do at least try to take care of ourselves. We do eat when we're hungry. We do, you know, thank God every one of you dressed yourself this morning, thankfully. Right? We do things to take care of ourselves. We do. And it's a good thing. We should do those things. So granted, you know, again, some of us have hated our bodies. There's a, you know, possibility that you looked in the mirror this morning and there was something about yourself you just hated. You just didn't like that. Maybe you wish you were better looking or something, or maybe you wish your hair wasn't starting to thin on you. That kind of thing. But we do take care of ourselves. Again, some of us have not taking super good care of ourselves because of eating the wrong things, so on and so forth. But by and large, the intent is when I eat, whether it's a salad or a Snickers bar, if a person eats, typically they're doing that to try to take care of their body because there's some kind of a hunger or something. Okay, that's the point. So from a quick glance, by the way, of many of us, we don't have a feeding problem. We typically don't have a problem feeding ourselves. We do that, right? So you might say, well, what about what the Bible says? Well, the Bible kind of sounds negative when it talks about those being lovers of themselves. So let's bring some clarity to that. When we're going to read this in the Message version of the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. It says, don't be naive. Tell your neighbor, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloating windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. And this is talking about the church people. In verse 2, there in the NIV, it refers to lovers of selves. You don't have to study real hard here on this or any of the other translations out there to figure out that someone that is a lover of their self in this sense is a self-centered, self-absorbed person. Okay, so when we are to love ourselves as we love our wives as ourselves, for men, for instance, it doesn't mean that we should be self-centered or self-absorbed. It means we should take care of them the way we take care of ourselves, that we should not neglect them, right? And so, you know, these people that we're talking about here, though, are into pleasure. They want instant pleasure. They want instant gratification, and they'll get it any way they can. That's why we have such a problem with immorality that is so rampant. You know, we're talking about the other day in the men's Bible study, because the subject of divorce came up in what we were reading, and you know, and divorce is it really is a problem in the United States, because there's this uncontested divorce. You can get divorced for anything you want, kind of thing. But the divorce numbers are around 50%, actually a little more than 50%. But those numbers have not been growing, and you know why they haven't been growing? It's not that people are finally getting. It's that many nowadays don't even bother to get married. They just go get shacked up as though somehow God's somehow going to be okay with it. When the Bible clearly says that the fornicator will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Just something to think about. So, but people are into pleasure however they can get it. And the whole world promotes that, and all of society promotes those things, and music and movies and so on and so forth promote that thing. And it's not just immorality, but it's more and more and more perverse as time goes by. So again, this is not describing normal self-love that we all have, that the Bible talks about there. We all care for ourselves. We want to be treated humanely. Anybody want to be treated humanely? Yes. Anybody here want to be mistreated? Like you just really enjoy people just slandering you and mistreating you and beating you and all that kind of stuff? I didn't think so. But we all care for ourselves in that way. And so in dealing with the Ephesians 5 verses that we just talked about, the Life Application Bible Commentary says this. It says, the fact that no one ever hates his own body refers not to self-centeredness, but to self-preservation, the natural self-concern that causes people to actually feed and care for themselves. Now, back to Matthew 22:39, Jesus had just stated, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, think with me. How do you want to be treated? Really think that through. How do you want to be treated? Understand, you love yourself. You care for yourself. We all know that. So how do you want others to treat you? How do you want others to talk about you? How do you want others to be concerned? But I want to tell you that through the course of, you know, going through this, I believe that God's going to begin to bring some people to mind that maybe they're not easy to treat like we want to be treated. But understand that the seed for you being blessed is to be a blessing. And I just believe that through teaching this, as we go through this thing that Jesus commanded his disciples, that some things are going to break off in the lives of some people. I believe that God is going to cause a generosity to begin to rise up within you by the Spirit of God. That God's going to cause you to begin to see that in order for us to truly be light like he wanted us to be in this world, we have to live by this gold standard. This gold standard speaks louder than anything else that you could ever do. You could preach to people. You could tell them about Jesus. You could tell them about salvation. You could tell them all those things. But if you're not living according to the gold standard, they will not see your light. They will not take you serious. And they will not hear what you have to say. All right, well, let's stand to our feet. I want you to know that anytime in this church, whether it's at the beginning, whether it's in the middle, whether it's at the end, whether it's in the preaching or in the worship time, the altar is always open. Anytime you feel a tugging on your heart, like, God, I know that something needs to change. I always say it's the place where things come to die. But as Pastor Cindy added to that, kind of helped me to see, was that it's not just the place where things come to die, but it's also the place where the Spirit of God can come alive in us. So the altar is open, and I'm just going to begin to pray. Maybe the Lord has, I don't know, maybe He's already begun to prick your heart about some things. Maybe you realize that you've not been treating people the way you want to be treated. You've not been talking to them the way you want to be talked to. Maybe that's within a husband and a wife. Maybe that's with your kids, or from a parent to a child, or a child to a parent. Maybe that's to an employee or an employer, or maybe that's to somebody that you work with. And you recognize that you've not been living according to this gold standard that Jesus gave us. I can't fix this for anybody. It's between you and the Lord. But I'm going to pray and you respond to Him. Now, Father, I thank You for this opportunity, God, to just delve into Your Word, Lord. We want to be true disciples of Jesus. Lord, this is one of the things that You taught to Your disciples, because You knew that without this in operation in their life, and we know that if we yield to the Holy Spirit, this will show up. But without this in operation in our lives, God, our light is very, very dim. Father, we don't want to just not mistreat people. God, we want to go over and above and bless even those who our own mind says don't deserve it. God, we want to be those who do good. And we know that as we plant those seeds, that good will come back to us. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father, that as we lay our own selves down, our own pride down, as we lay those things down, Father, and we just choose to be servants of Yours, we choose to let Your love flow through us the way it flowed through Jesus. Lord, our lives will forever be transformed. And not just us, but those around us will be transformed because they see something real. And I pray from the oldest in this house today to the youngest, Lord, I pray supernaturally imprint, burn within our heart, God, this desire to live according the gold standard, the gold rule, Father. We can't do it without You. But Lord, with You, we can certainly live this out. And I thank You for Your anointing that is upon each one to do this, Lord. May we begin this immediately today. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.